This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Six in the evening, and we're taking a look at what's been going on since GST was abolished last month.
According to a government survey.
Right. Yes, of course, according to a government survey, right?
It's by the National Price Council that's under the Ministry of Domestic Trade and Consumer Affairs.
Yes, so they have shown that average prices of 72% of necessities have dropped since GST was abolished a month ago.
Yep, and so the rate of decrease ranges between less than 1% to about and about 13%.
Yeah, so there have been complaints, an increasing number of complaints, but those were primarily focused on food and drink prices, mostly at restaurants and warungs. And yep. This is according to the Domestic Trade and Consumer Affairs Minister Datuk Saifuddin Nasution.
Yeah, apparently price increases are mostly for fresh food. We're talking, you know, seafood, vegetables. And that follows supply and demand. The survey actually sampled 417 different types of consumer goods. And the necessities sampled were fresh and dry food, packaged, tinned, packed, or bottled products, beverages, baby food, cleaning products even. They did this between May the 28th and June. They did this on May 28th versus June 25th this year.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, I think I've noticed some price decreases on items like, which were GST'd, you know, cereal, imported stuff like that, which showed a significant increase, actually, when GST was introduced. You know, things like cornflakes went up by quite a bit.
Yeah, I think my iced tea, actually, surprisingly, went down by 20 cents or something.
There you go. Yeah. But, you know, I guess it'll be interesting to see consumer feedback. I mean, this is, of course, a government survey.
Yeah.
But I'm curious to see how the man on the street is feeling about...
Yeah. I'm curious to know whether or not you feel, you know, something tangible by way of the zero-rated GST, whether you feel that, you know, it's been easy on the pocket, for example. I mean, that was the big fear. We were talking about implementing GST at the time. Everybody was worried about it.
Yes.
And then getting rid of it, we were again worried about it. So... you know, just an effort, I guess, to gauge how you feel. Give us a call. It is Talk Back All Day, you know, 03-771-09000.
Yeah, there was also, I guess, a lot of people changing their buying habits when GST was implemented. You know, a lot of people moving away from maybe imported goods and things that were considered luxurious and not necessities, if you will. Mm-hmm. And now that GST is gone, have you gone back to your old ways? Are you buying the very expensive Kellogg's conflicts instead of the cheaper alternatives that are out there?
Yeah.
Would you be paying 46 ringgit for a box as opposed to like 23 ringgit for
and
a box?
And also, I guess, things like eating out, for example, because that was one of the things we saw sort of changing a little bit, right? People eating in restaurants, whether or not you feel the difference between, what is it, the 10% sales and service tax
and
the 6% GST.
We have a little bit of a tax holiday at the moment until SST gets implemented again. And I know, for example, lots of car companies are trying to cash in on that by saying, hey, look, special offer on cars, no GST, no SST.
Tax holiday every day.
Yeah, it's not like we can just go out and buy a car on a whim, but I'm just saying that option is there. So it's interesting that a lot of these businesses are taking advantage of this, what is it, July, August, September, two and a half, three month interim period to try and push up sales, right?
Yeah.
We're going to be speaking after this to Umar Ramaswamy from the Consumer Association of Penang for a little more on price changes since GST was abolished. And that's coming your way after the Get Up Kids, All That I Know on BFM 89.9.
Beyond Frivolous Matters, BFM 89.9, the business station.
Caroline and Uma with you on the evening edition. It's 6:15 and we're talking about GST and whether or not prices have actually dropped since it was removed over a month ago. I believe there are some tweets, Caroline?
Yep, that's right. So at Goshen59 essentially saying, as a consumer, Goshen is still not feeling the reduction in prices. And he's talking about sundries and coffee shop type prices.
All right. You know, we've got, you can call us at any time, 03-771-09000 to join the conversation.
Yep. Toh has this to say, my McD breakfast is cheaper, $5.65 versus $6. So there you go.
Hurrah.
Yeah.
Maybe you don't eat so much of that to be healthy, but sure,
Dr. Jagjeet says about the GST and price drops, my wife does all the groceries at home. She prepares the kids and my lunch boxes. The last week, he got cherries in his lunch box for the first time. So I guess prices must be really dropping, he says.
Fantastic. Oh. Get some luxury items thrown in there for good measure.
Yeah,
we've got Ken on the line. Ken, you've got some thoughts on the GST.
Yes, actually, I feel that the price is not dropped. In fact, it's still stay the same.
Mm-hmm. And what prices are you talking about specifically? You're talking about shopping?
For food.
Sorry?
For food.
For food.
Okay, I mean, just one example is that a chicken rice in a coffee shop is... when the announcements of zero rice rate in May, so when that announcement announced, in fact, all the hawker center or coffee shop, they did not prepare for it, but they increased the price 6%.
They increased? Oh, yeah, when they implemented it, you're saying, not when they zero-rized
it. Yes, that means when they know on the 1st of June, the price is going to be decreased back to without the GST or zero rated, so they increase it now.
That is very sneaky, but you can report behavior like that.
Oh, I see. So they increased it by 6% only to
reduce it again.
Yes. I have those receipts because I'm a regular for that particular coffee shop or that chicken rice shop. So, but actually, what I'm trying to say is that. It is the same whether it is going to be when we go up to when we reach the time of the SST or when the time we implement the GST 2 years back. I think the same lesson learned or the same weakness is that there's no control and monitoring that has been implemented all this time. You see, it's like when we implement any tax system, it's always, there's no monitoring. So this is the reason why that, the merchant or those in business, they could just take the advantage of doing this because there's no regular check and there's no people who have monitors, this kind of things.
Can I ask very quickly, did you report this?
No, I didn't report. But I actually, inform my friends and not to go to this shop, actually, or to this place.
Right. But you should report it. If you do have the receipts and actual evidence, go right ahead and do that. That's your duty as a consumer as well. Thank you, Ken, for your call.
And that is the first step, isn't it?
And that is the first step,
something
right?
being done about it. A lot of us talk about it, and we do this. We're guilty of this. We talk about it, when we see each other in the office. We talk about it with our friends.
Yeah.
But if you don't raise the complaint...
Yeah, I think the enforcement officers also, they're not omnipresent as much as we'd like them to be. So I think sometimes they need to go off these sorts of reports. We've got Ronnie on the line. Hey, Ronnie, what are your thoughts on the GST? Have you felt prices coming down?
Hi. Actually, some have come down. Some merchants have still not taken away the 6%. Because I know I bought a pair of shoes before the GST was reduced. It was, for example, 100 ringgit, right? So after GST was reduced, it was still 100 ringgit. The 100 ringgit that I bought before GST was reduced, it was inclusive of 6% GST. It was 100. So I went to the shop after June the 1st. I said, how come your shoes are still selling at 100? It should be below 100 ringgit. Right? That's why there's no monitoring. Even the parking ticket, it was 1 ringgit inclusive of GST. Now it's 1 ringgit inclusive of zero GST. How to complain?
Yeah.
You don't have the ticket before already, right?
Yeah.
So the new ticket shows 1 ringgit termasuk 0% GST. Last time it was 1 ringgit termasuk 6% GST.
I see where you're coming from, Ronnie.
Yeah, and you know what?
Thank you very much for your call.
Adrian sent a message in essentially echoing those thoughts. He also sent a picture of parking tickets, one that was issued on in May and one more that was issued in June, essentially saying showing no reduction in parking rates. Adrian says that he reported but doesn't think that there's any action.
So
I think that's a great step to take, though.
Okay, so reporting is good. Now, with regards to parking, parking tickets, Caroline, I think there is something and out there in the sense that I think parking operators which did that said that they were absorbing the cost of GST. So therefore, that's why it wasn't wondering it in six cents. Yeah, exactly. So maybe that's why there is no change in your parking ticket. But I think it was operator dependent. Yeah, so you should have to check with your individual operator.
That's a good point, really.
Yeah, so we have on the line Uma Ramaswamy. She's an officer at CAP. That's the Consumers Association of Penang. Uma, thanks for joining us on the program. Hey, Uma, meet Uma.
Uma and Uma.
What are CAP's observations regarding price changes since GST was abolished?
You see, what's very important is what are the items that have actually reduced in prices? First, very importantly, basic needs are most important. All right, that means food, okay? Now, raw material prices have not really gone down. That means, for example, you know, when people buy this, let's say, all the spices and this and that, they have not really gone down very much. In fact, it keeps fluctuating, also due to market demand and supply plus the currency, because what we're doing is we are importing a lot of spices, and we also import a lot of things like certain things like coconut and all that, because we're very short of it in this country. So you find that sort of a thing, we are finding that prices are still not really reduced. It may be a bit, little bit here, there and everywhere, but it's not completely reduced. We actually want to target for those type of things so that people have food on their table, good, nutritious food.
Well, that's interesting. How do you think the prices of these raw ingredients can be reduced, though?
Middleman. Remove the middleman.
Right. And can you explain that to us in a little more detail?
Okay, right. We see there's something called farm to table. That means the middleman has to be removed from, you see, when these vegetables come down, say, from the highlands or whatever for the markets, it goes to a various sector of people before it reaches me. The farmer may be getting very little, let's say, let's give you an example. I'm not telling this exact price, but the price of cucumber at the farm level may be 80 cents. All right? By the time it comes to the market and it's sold to me, it's about 3 ringgit. So that means there's a few chains in between. So what we want to do is, in fact, there's this, a pharma is supposed to be a marketing agency and distribution, but it's not really working very well. We suggest that there must be some cooperative which carries out this thing where the vegetables are bought straight from the farmers. It's from the farm to the table, that's what we call it.
Right. Can you, I guess perhaps, describe to us this route that you're talking about, that fresh produce typically goes through until it gets to the dinner table?
What we understand is from Cameron Highlands, the vegetables that are brought down is sent to Selayang Market, okay, because that's a big wholesale market, right? Now, from there, it is distributed to other states. Why do you do that? Why can't it come straight from Cameron Highlands to Penang or straight from Cameron Highlands to Perak? You know this sort of thing? No, it comes all the way down to Selayang, gets sorted out there, and then comes up to all the various states. That distribution system should break. It should go directly. For example, if I'm from Penang or I'm from Pahang and Kelantan may not have fresh produce, mm-hmm. Pahang should supply to Kelantan.
Yeah.
You know, there must be these interstate arrangements also when farming is concerned. Mm-hmm.
And do we know if this is something that the ministry is looking to implement?
I hope they do because, I mean, previously we've been calling for this for many times because it has not really worked very well. But we need to know why. Is there a cartel? Is there a monopoly? What is going on? We have to find out exactly where the middleman problem is.
I see. So in the meantime, do you think there's a need for Malaysians to perhaps manage expectations in terms of how much lower prices can actually go?
Yeah, Malaysians also actually, they should change a little bit of their attitudes and all that because eating out has become such a habit now. And the price of food, cooked food outside is really expensive if you really look at it. So we suggest to them to try and cut down eating out so much. Eat home-cooked food. There's one thing that we actually request restaurants to do. For example, you know, you find a lot of this food that we have, let's say a piece of chicken, they're very oversized, very big. So they should sell smaller portions, okay, at a reasonable price. So that people don't waste. You find that a lot of people have one piece of chicken on their plate. You can't finish because it's too big and they throw it away. So that goes into economic cost of the country where food waste is concerned. A lot of food is being dumped into the bins because the attitude of Malaysians is that we always have this forever on our plate, which is not correct. Eat wisely do not overeat, number one. Number two, do not waste food. Portions should be reduced, not increased in that sense.
So Domestic Trade and Consumer Affairs Minister Dato' Saifuddin Nasution Ismail was quoted in a Malay Mail interview saying that he will not be antagonistic towards errant businesses. Do you think that's the right approach for him to take?
No, I can understand. I can understand why he said that is because you need businesses, because only then I can buy my stuff to eat. But at the same time, if they are really flouting the law, the laws are there. He has to increase enforcement. All right? Now, if the laws are there, enforcement is increased, and traders repeatedly do this, then you can close them down. But there are a lot of people, traders, who are actually quite fair. So we should also look at it this side. There may be one or two rogue traders who are doing this and, you know, controlling and all that. So they should look into these sort of areas where, as I said, encourage more people to, you know, get the thing directly through the pharma distribution, number one. Number two, people with homes who got small gardens can plant your own simple vegetables, like, you know, all this serai and all these things that you buy, which is very expensive. Now you can actually plant it. Even chili, you can plant it in your home. Number three, the whole idea of having buffets is very wasteful, because when buffets create demand, all right? Now, most of the time, a lot of food items, raw items, are supplied to the posh hotels first, the restaurants second, and we are the last down the chain. So you get, you know, sometimes you may have, you may not have, because the best goes to all these places, and because people are paying lots of money to pay that, which is quite, as I said, very wasteful. So we have to change our lifestyle and culture at the same time. Like, when we want to bring prices down, everybody has to play a role. The government, the traders, the wholesalers, and the people.
Right. You know, there is, I guess, also this culture that we seem to have, right, of not being really upfront about matters. So, you know, a lot of complaints probably don't get filed. How do you think people can be encouraged to lodge complaints and speak up when we come across errant businesses?
You see, the problem is, I think what people face is, if I complain, also nothing will happen. That attitude, mentality should stop. If someone starts something somewhere, that means if you start complaining, which means that, these people are really serious, and the government takes it up, or the enforcement officers take it up, it shows them and proves that it's worth complaining. Okay, and make the complaining systems mechanism be very simple. If you make complaining system or mechanism very complicated, nobody wants to do it. And I think now with the social and viral things going on, it does help the enforcement to wake up, actually. Because immediately, you know, someone notices it and then sends it, and people don't go and eat in that shop or don't buy things from that shop, and the enforcement goes in immediately. But there's a few cases we noticed. But we ask people to be responsible. Do not do it to sabotage anyone. Whatever complaint you have, it must have its basis. Do not pull pranks. Once you pull pranks, nobody wants to take your complaint seriously in future.
Thank you very much, Umar, for your thoughts. That was Umar Ramaswamy, officer at the Consumers Association of Penang. Now, to lodge complaints, you can reach out to the Domestic Trade, Cooperatives and Consumerism Ministry via their hotline, that's 03 8000 8000, or you can do so via the smartphone application EasyADU. We've got the news coming your way right now.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.